Hello, and welcome to The Safety Net. I'm your host, Alice Taylor. Today, I'm joined by one of my favorite people, the Deputy Director of the Indy Public Safety Foundation, Chrissy Worster. Welcome, Chrissy.
Hi, Alice. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be your guest.
Oh, my pleasure. Chrissy and I met earlier this year as the Indy Public Safety Foundation hosts twice a year a 12-week Citizens Academy, where citizens like myself go through a process of which we're going to talk about a little later in this show. But that is how I met Chrissy and how I got more interested in the public safety field. For our listeners' benefit here, could you tell us what is the Indy Public Safety Foundation exactly?
The Indy Public Safety Foundation is a five-year-old 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we support IMPD, Indianapolis Metropolitan Police Department, IFD, the Indianapolis Fire Department, and Indianapolis EMS. We create resources and partnerships to support police officers, firefighters, EMTs, paramedics, and civilian employees who keep our community safe. We also support evidence-based programs that address public safety issues our community faces. We're actually very unique in the fact that we support all three core public safety agencies. Most foundations typically only support police or fire separately. I personally think this shows just how genuinely different Indianapolis is in the fact that our first responders from all agencies work so well together. Most people don't realize how much of an anomaly that truly is.
Yeah, I didn't really think that at all. I mean, going through the Citizens Academy, it seems so seamless, and that there is a genuine culture of sharing that I understand that you don't always get that in other cities.
Absolutely. We have a couple class members of the Citizens Academy this class, class 11. They commented the first orientation night that they could not believe that all of the agency chiefs were able to sit together and speak with each other and be open and honest. And they said, you just do not see that where we're from and the different cities we've lived in.
Indy is a pretty friendly city. So it's friendly to the core.
Yes.
On this foundation, obviously you were talking about that it's a nonprofit and that it supports IMPD, IFD, and Indianapolis EMS. The funds that you raise in different ways, what do you do with that money, and who decides who gets the money?
We, when I say we, I mean the two-person team that is the Indy Public Safety Foundation. Dane Nutty is the executive director of the foundation, and he's been with the foundation for about 4 years, and myself. And we like to say that we have a two-buckets approach. One of these buckets is to meet the needs of first responders directly. So whether that's a piece of equipment, a show of support or training, we find individuals or businesses to help fund those unbudgeted needs. So that being said, we get requests for funds in various ways. We will always first make sure that what we are being asked to fund aligns with the strategic mission of the chief and the leadership of the respective public safety agency that is requesting the funds. We have a wonderful, smart, and diverse 25-member board of directors, our current board chair being John Merland. So each agency chief is also on our board of directors. They are ex officio non-voting board members. All requests get vetted through the chain of command, and then once that happens, we go to our board of directors with the request for them to review. Then they ultimately get that final stamp of approval. So lots of checks and balances there.
First off, you said that it could be like a piece of equipment or a show of support or training. Is this a thing where you might get a Kevlar vest for a canine officer, or what examples might you have?
Yeah, we have actually funded some canines for the IMPD canine unit.
Oh, so actually buying a specific dog, a dog that would be able to be trained to be a canine officer.
Absolutely.
Oh, wonderful.
I know. And another really interesting piece of equipment that we've funded. The Indiana Task Force 1, which is sponsored by IFD, is one of 28 federal urban search and rescue task forces that respond to local and national emergencies. Our foundation invested $17,000 to outfit each task force member, many of whom are volunteers, with high-quality sleep systems to use during deployment. So we learned through some of these task force members that when they were deployed, for instance, they were deployed for Hurricane Katrina, they were just sleeping on whatever, wherever they could. So sleeping on cardboard, sleeping on concrete, and they didn't even have sleeping bags to take with them so that when it was time to rest that they could sleep. Because you have to remember, like, they're going into these places and they're not staying in a hotel while they're working, right? They're out there. So we had no idea that they didn't even have sleeping bags. So that request was vetted. And again, we were able to get that approved through our board of directors. And we spent $17,000 and outfitted them with super high quality sleeping bags so that when they're deployed, they can use them.
Are these sleeping bags sort of inflatable or?
They're super cool, like cooling, heating, all that good stuff. So,
wow.
I know, right?
That is, yeah, it's pretty darn impressive because they have to be deployed in such a short span of time to have that type of equipment ready and you can just grab it and go has to be monumental because those aren't the things you're thinking about when you're trying to get to a disaster, I'm sure.
Correct. And, you know, they're on the drop of a dime. A disaster strikes and they're called out and they've got to say goodbye within hours sometimes, so.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. So on the second bucket is some of the programs. So what are some of the programs that you fund?
Yeah, well, we've got a huge list. So I'll highlight just a few. IPSF, so Indy Public Safety Foundation, along with IMPD, we have invested over $200,000 to launch the IMPD Cadet Program. The Cadet Program creates a diverse pipeline for youth ages 9 to 22 years old, focusing on relationship building and workforce development. In 2020, we're actually really excited to expand this program to serve all public safety agencies. In Indianapolis, you have to be, I don't know if you know this, but in Indianapolis, you have to be 21 to apply to be a police officer or a firefighter. So this program can kind of help bridge the gap between the time a young person graduates high school and the time that they can actually apply to be a police officer or firefighter.
Oh, wow. So that's great. So that keeps them, honestly, better prepared, and when they go to apply, they probably have a little bit of an edge from the standpoint that they have that type of background.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got an IMPD officer, Officer Christine Menina. She runs the cadet program. So we have junior cadets, and those are the cadets that are ages 9 to 18. And then we have the cadets, and they're 18 to 21, 22 when they're ready to apply. So the junior cadets are all volunteers, and they are a fantastic group of kids who are very serious. They meet once a week and they learn all kinds of training, like de-escalation tactics, all of these cool things. They're really good at traffic control and management. And then the cadets, the 18 to 22 year olds, they're actually part-time civilian employees of IMPD. So they get, not only do they get the same training that these junior cadets are getting, but they are also getting to kind of learn the civilian roles and the back end functions of IMPD so that when they do become IMPD police officers, they can kind of use what they've learned happens in the office on the back end and take that to the streets with them. So you are correct. They kind of are the most perfect candidate, if you will, to be an officer.
Well, sure. They show the dedication to take that long. How is it that if any of our listeners were interested in finding out more about maybe they have, you know, a son, a daughter, or someone they know that might be a candidate for a cadet, how would they go about finding out more about that program?
Sure. Visit our website, which is indypsf.org. We've got some information about the cadet program. Like I said, we just have IMPD cadets right now, but in 2020, we are very excited and looking forward to expanding that to all public safety cadets. So looking for IFD cadets and Indianapolis EMS cadets. So hopefully we'll have some more information about that up on the website soon as well.
So you don't know exactly yet where the IFD and the EMS cadets would meet or how all that, because you're still working
through still working that. Through
okay.
that. Yep.
But next year. Next
yes,
year. So looking forward
soon.
To that.
Yes.
Yes. Soon, isn't it? So, what else do you have?
You
have the PAL program, is that right?
Oh, we do. So, we're super excited about PAL. As of January of this year, again, in partnership with IMPD, IPSF assumed the administrative oversight for the Indy Police Athletic and Activities League, or PAL, as it's called. PAL is the original community policing model. So Indy PAL has been using sports and activities to build relationships and mentor underappreciated youth in Indianapolis since 1961. Alice, my dad was a PAL kid.
Oh,
yep.
So it's full circle. I'm
it's
sure
full
he's so,
circle.
So proud of his daughter. so
is.
Involved in this.
Yeah. So PAL was such a huge presence when it very first started and really up until about the 80s or 90s. And then the program kind of as some long-standing programs do, kind of evened out. It kind of waned. And I think a lot of people thought Indy Powell went away. It never really went away. We are excited now that we have administrative oversight that we're kind of revamping it and putting it back in the spotlight to let everybody know that it never went away and it's always been here.
Memory-wise, what do you think that was a big memory for your dad as a pal?
So my dad actually still has his basketball little trophy that he got from playing in the Indy Pal Basketball League. And I'd have to go back and ask him, but I'm almost positive he played basketball and football in the Indy Pal League. So he just said he remembers it helping him bridge the gap between – it made him unafraid of being able to talk to police officers, right? Because when you're a child, sometimes a police officer is someone of authority and is very scary to you. But when they're your coach and they're their mentor and they're helping you with sports and they're helping you with homework and they're helping you play chess or – Connect Four or whatever it is you're interested in, it's easier to see them not as this authoritative figure, but as your friend who you're then able to talk to or go to if something happens.
Oh, gosh, I love that. That is wonderful. I'm so glad that that's coming back.
We're excited.
A little bit more about Task Force One. So I see that you know, that's a direct resource side for you.
Correct. So again, that was one of the, not a program necessarily that we funded, but equipment, to your point, that we funded. We also, with IFD, going back to Task Force One, since Task Force One is supported by IFD, with IFD's leadership, the Indy Public Safety also invested, Indy Public Safety Foundation, excuse me, also invested $7,500 to establish an emergency incident needs fund to provide vital needs such as food and water for first responders on scene at large scale or emergency incidents. This need was actually brought to our attention after the grain silo incident earlier this summer. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah. So it ended up being an extremely lengthy rescue mission for the first responders that were on scene. We received an emergency call asking if we could help with some food, which, of course, we were very happy to provide. But it got us all thinking that we could have a fund that would be specifically utilized for this purpose. The Fire Buffs Relief Support Unit, another organization that IPSF has supported financially, also plays an integral role in being first on scene to provide IFD and other first responders with water, snacks, and shelters if needed. But this emergency incident needs fund is utilized after the fire buffs have been on scene and some extra help might be needed. So, Alice, I know you work for city government. And you know that sometimes when you need things quickly, that's not going to happen. So this fund is more for those things. I didn't realize until we started talking about setting this fund up that sometimes when first responders, particularly firefighters, are out on scene doing these rescues, you know, they need equipment that they might not have, that they need to procure quickly, or if this is going to be something that's 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours, right? Like they need porta-johns, they need somewhere to use the restroom, they need food, they need all of these things that this emergency incident needs fund. They can come directly to us. We can get that to them quickly. And then that way we're not waiting on city government to procure those items.
The turtle. You're more the hare than the turtle part of the city government part.
Yes.
I love it. And you don't think about that. You know, there are so many things that you don't think about for first responders is that, you know, sometimes they don't know how long a situation is going to be, how long someone's going to need to be there. And there are just basic human needs that no one even considers.
I mean, absolutely. That grain silo incident couldn't have been any more perfect of an example. You know, they go to this grain silo thinking it's going to be a quick rescue mission, and they quickly figure out that every time they suck a little bit of the grain out of the silo, it shifts, and therefore the person that's trapped inside is being put in compromised positions. So now they're figuring out, like, oh, this is going to take us a long time to drain this silo and get this person out. So what they thought would be something really quick turned into something very long. And, you know, after being on scene for 18 hours, they were like, well, we should probably eat something.
Food. Yes. Or have a drink of water, maybe. I don't know.
You know, people, average citizens, and, you know, myself really included until I started this job and kind of got in the weeds of everything, we just don't realize the little things that these first responders do and that they sacrifice just to help the citizens.
I agree. I've learned, again, through the Citizens Academy, I keep throwing that out there, I have learned so much and so many things that I just want to tell you, listeners, it's not like it is in the movies. I'm just telling you, it is not. It is not. Real life.
What was it that IFD told you the first night? They said, this isn't Chicago Fire.
Right. You don't watch that. That's not it. You don't look across the room during this big burning fire and go, oh, yeah, I can see you clearly. I'm going to walk straight over to you and save you right now.
Yes.
So it doesn't happen that way.
Nope. And so I was going to just throw out there one of the other things that we've funded. And this one was for Indianapolis EMS. They extended their community-based AED program, which placed 44 automatic external defibrillators, so AEDs, in accessible community locations and provided hands-on CPR training to over 3,000 community members. So the program was started through a federal grant. However, after that grant ended, the Indy Public Safety Foundation helped meet gap funding needs to maximize impact in our community.
Wow, that's great.
I think you got to do a little bit of that CPR, the hands CPR.
I did.
In class, right?
I also learned how to, again, I keep going back to the Citizens Academy. It is the core of everything here. The Citizens Academy, I learned how to administer Narcan. So
always interesting. Did you guys get to do the Stop the Bleed?
Yes, we
did.
That's always
my favorite.
We'll just get just a little bit more on this, just budgeted, and then I want to get into the Citizens Academy because you know how much I love about it.
We keep talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. So just how are these things budgeted?
How do
you decide?
Yeah. IPSF does operate programs directly. Like I said, the IMPD cadet program is a program that we operate directly. So expenditures on those programs are budgeted as part of our annual organizational budget. However, as we've been talking about, anyone working with first responders must quickly realize that the needs of public safety can arise or change very quickly. So the Indy Public Safety Foundation strives to be agile and fluid in meeting the needs as quickly as possible. So any unbudgeted requests go through our board approval that we talked about just a bit ago, and IPSF allocates resources to fund those requests.
Oh, good. So that means that forever you're being able to be more timely with meeting the needs instead of going through the whole bureaucracy and taking forever. You're able to be more rapid about budgeting your money and getting that out there.
Correct. We kind of, as we say, we kind of get to skirt the red tape a little bit.
I like that. Okay, now to get on to the part of the conversation that I'm so excited about, of course, which was the Public Safety Citizens Academy. Totally loved it. I applied for it, had no idea really what I was getting into, but when I read the description and I knew that, you know, you kind of had to fill out an application, I got my application in right away and sat with much trepidation.
One of my first applicants, yeah?
Probably, because, you know, that's how I roll. You're not a rock star if you're, you know, late to the party.
You're exactly right.
So let's talk a little bit about the Public Safety Academy. How did it even come about?
So the mission of the Indy Public Safety Foundation is to enhance the safety and quality of life in greater Indianapolis. So to kind of go back to that two buckets approach that I talked about earlier, the second bucket, if you will, is for the Indy Public Safety Foundation to be the link between public safety agencies and the communities they serve. So one of the unique ways that we get to carry this out is through the Public Safety Citizens Academy. And the Public Safety Citizens Academy is a free 12-week program that meets once per week for 3 hours at the various Indianapolis public safety agencies. The Academy runs twice a year, so once in the spring and once in the fall. And really all you have to do is be over the age of 18, pass a brief background check, and have an interest in learning about public safety in Indianapolis. We're very proud to be in our 11th class, and Alice, you are graduate of the 10th class.
And you're a graduate of the 9th.
I'm a graduate of the 9th class, yes. So we're proud to be in the 11th class of this innovative and impactful program. We are also proud that, to our knowledge, we're the only Public Safety Citizens Academy in the country. So there are a lot of similar programs, but most of them focus solely on law enforcement. So as I mentioned, we're lucky here to have such incredible relationships and partnerships between all of our public safety agencies so that the Public Safety Citizens Academy gets to expose its participants to the entire spectrum of public safety.
They should call it kind of like a reality check, sort of public safety reality check, because, again, you know, you watch TV, you think it's one way and it's not that way at all. And I believe the first three nights or the first 3 weeks are
IFD.
IFD.
Yes.
Which is super fun. One of my favorite parts of that was putting on the turnout gear, which, again, they make it look so effortless, like it's no big deal. It's 80 pounds of gear.
It's heavy. Yes.
And, you know, you don't even think about how heavy the helmet is. And one of the instructors, the IFD instructor, was like, okay, when you put this helmet on, you know, it's kind of heavy. I was like, how heavy could a helmet be? Well, like my head, like he had to like sort of hold my head up. And he's like, all right, big shooter, like, you know, just hold that. Can you hold that steady there? And then I started pinwheeling my arms because, you know, I'm about ready to fall backwards when they put the tank on. So it's a lot. And to be able to maneuver and do the dexterity that they need to have in order to perform their jobs at such a critical time and stressful time is amazing to me that they do that in this gear. You would think in this day and age that they would have, I don't know, some like super powerful,
lightweight, super, something.
Again, watching TV, wouldn't they have that?
Right.
But it is really completely arduous to put it on, to wear it, and to continue wearing it, which kind of goes back to where you were talking about the fire buffs and the relief. I would think just the amount of dehydration that can happen just in a short period of time that can sort of be, from their standpoint, harmful to them.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So like you said, you got to try on the turnout gear. I cannot believe the women and men who are in IFD, and they run upstairs, they crawl,
they're climb ladders. Hoses and they're, ladders.
I couldn't even walk when I tried that on. And also, let's also talk about how quickly they put it on, and that the fact that it took me 25 minutes to even
and they're what was
kind
it,
of
60
get it
seconds,
on.
Right? Yeah, it's 60 yeah. seconds.
And, yes.
Yeah. In crazy town.
Yes. But yeah, to go back to that, fires and rescue missions happen 365. So it's the heat of summer. It's the dead of winter. And they're out there in the elements and they're not sheltered. So that's something else that the fire buffs provide for them, too, is, you know, if it's negative 35 and they're fighting a fire, they might need to get a little bit warm. They might need to get out of those elements. So they kind of provide some shelter for them as well. But they have a crazy job.
They do have a crazy job. Well, another that we spent three nights with was IMPD. That's another totally different. It was so completely interesting to find out how many different law enforcement agencies there are just within Marion County. You think it's all IMPD. It's not. It's Lawrence. It's, I don't know, Meridian Hills. I'm probably making stuff up. Southport.
Yeah.
All of them. And everybody lumps them as all one big group when that's not really the situation at all.
Yeah.
And it's also, for me, I thought that how open and receptive they were to any type of questions that any of the citizens asked, which was both for IFD and IMPD. They were just like, ask us whatever you ask us whatever hard-hitting questions you want to ask, and we're more than willing to answer them. And my biggest thing was where they did the scenarios, where they put you in the shoes of an officer with a fake gun and gave you a scenario of what an officer might walk into, like a domestic dispute. And then you walk in, and then they have field trained officers who actually act out a scene as though they are the citizens that you are going in trying to de-escalate the situation. And I have to say, I found a whole lot about myself, which was Oh my gosh, that was so scary. It was so scary. And to be able to do that on a day in and day out basis gave me such an incredible amount of respect and a totally different understanding. It's just the same way as it is. I thought that when a firefighter went into a fire, they just walked in standing straight up. They could see everything.
They could see everything. That's the biggest misconception.
Yes. And you know, and that isn't at all. They are crawling and they are doing their jobs blind. And IMPD basically in a lot of ways does their job blind because they get very little information and then they walk into a situation that they have no idea how that's going to happen. And that was a really was big for me. That was a big turning point as far as my understanding and my appreciation for what these men and women do in public safety for us.
That's always an eye-opening experience for community members who get to participate in those scenarios. You always think that you're going to react a certain way, and you never react the way that you think you will. They base those scenarios off of things that they have all witnessed in the streets. So it's all things that they have gone through, that they've had runs on. And you're right, they get very little information. I know one of the scenarios I went into, they just said, we know that there's a domestic dispute. There's two men and one woman. And that's all you know. And you have to, you know, knock on the door and...
And you don't know if they have a gun. You don't know what they're going to come at you with.
Right.
And yeah, it was pretty intense.
It's intense, and you're exactly right. You learn a lot about yourself, and then you have so much respect for the women and men in law enforcement and the training that they received. You know,
to take on that shield, to swear in and take on that shield to defend people they don't even know.
They don't even know.
It's incredible.
It is incredible. Yeah. And they do, and IMPD does such a wonderful job because they're trained so well. So, like, huge shout out to the IMPD Training Academy and their staff for everything that they do. You know, those IMPD recruits are there for 24 weeks. And the reason that they react differently than you and I did when we did our scenario is because they're trained so well. At that point, it's muscle memory. It's their training. It kicks in. So they're still human beings. At the end of the day, they're not robots. They're human beings. But, you know, that training gets to kick in. Whereas for you and I, it was...
We have nothing.
It was fight or flight.
Yeah, it was nothing. I had nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm out of here, man. So, see ya. Yeah, well, and you know, and that's the same way that I feel about each of the courses that we went through, including the IFD, of what they have to train on things that you don't even think about. Again, you know, they have to put them in real-life burn situations so that they can learn, so that they just don't learn on the job.
Right.
They have to show up at their station, and I believe that they are... probationary status for at least 3 to 5 years, something of that nature. It's pretty long.
It's a long time, yeah.
So that they can rotate around to the different stations and they can learn, different types of, because they're usually the first ones there.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Most of the time, it doesn't matter what it is, they're usually the first ones there. 4 minutes, I think. Is that right?
First
4 minutes?
Yes,
first on scene.
Okay.
So, but the others that we talked with or that we got to meet with was Task Force One, Homeland Security, and
Indianapolis EMS.
Yes.
Eskenazi Health.
Yes. Yeah. That was incredible. They have 30 ambulances and they make 300 runs a day.
Yes.
Not a year, not a week, not any of that. A day.
A day.
Which is crazy. And again, like I told you, I learned how to administer Narcan, where they were giving us scenarios of, we would bring this person back from an overdose situation, and 2 hours later, they're back in the back of our ambulance, and we're administering Narcan again because we can't make them go to the hospital. We can strongly suggest it, but we can't make them do it.
Yep.
So again, all of this was just a wonderful experience, and I hope that any of you out there listeners are ever interested in learning more about our public safety. I hope that you will think about trying to apply for the Citizens Academy. And again, that information is at
indypsf.org. Our next class will be spring of 2020. We will always put on our website when that application is open. And the application, it is first come, first serve. The class always fills up very quickly. So if you are interested, be on the lookout for that probably around January, February of 2020 for the applications to open up for that. So the goal of the class is always just to help citizens be more informed.
Chrissy, thank you so very much for being my guest on the Safety Net. I'm your host, Alice Taylor.